Father, thank you again so much for the music you give us to remind us about your sacrifice. We pray now that as we look into your word that we are challenged by it, and Lord, that our lives would be surrendered to you. And Lord, that we have not held back, that we accept your sacrifice. And Lord, as we see the things that were done that day, I pray that you make it real in our lives right now in this moment. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Good Friday, we talk about the Lord's sacrifice, but I want to share a little bit more of the background, some things that you probably don't know, you haven't heard. But as Kathy and I have been reading through a book of Jewish tradition, and some very interesting things have come out about it, and really tie together with the New Testament, with the death of Christ. The law of Moses was given to Moses by God, and they call it, the Israelites, the Jewish people, call it the law of Moses. It said that a priest of Israel would minister in the temple, that they would be in charge of the offerings and the sacrifices, and they were to be of the tribe of Levi, descendants of Aaron. There was one who came who was born of the house of Aaron, not just on his father's side, but also on his mother's side. He was of the purest bloodline of priests. And he would be given a name. That name was Yochanan. Yochanan. I'd like you to go to Luke chapter 1 to find out the identity of this individual. Luke chapter 1, 1556 in your pew Bibles. 1556 in the pew Bibles. Luke chapter 1. And starting in verse 5. It says, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly, but had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. Verse 11 says, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing in the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will bring back, he will bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in spirit and in power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make them ready, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So we find out that Yochanan is John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Well, it's an interesting connection between John the Baptist and Jesus, because we know that Jesus came to him, and we're going to turn to that scripture as well. And we all know that story. And I want you to go there, actually. John chapter 1, 16-14, is the next book. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So John chapter 1, and starting at verse 23. And so John was standing in the Jordan River, or around the Jordan River, and in verse 23 it says, John replied, because people were asking him who he was and what he came, who he came by, and etc. And he spoke in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of the one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord." Now some Pharisees who had seen or had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And he said, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He is one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." Well, then in verse 29 it says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel.'" And of course, he describes the baptism and everything that took place when Jesus was baptized. So John would baptize Jesus, and he would call him the Lamb of God. Well, this is interesting because John is a priest, according to the priestly line, born from Aaron's household. His father was of Aaron's household. His mother was from Aaron's household. And so John, being a priest from birth, filled with the Holy Spirit from birth, he was a priest of priests. And here, he calls Jesus the Lamb of God. Well, it was the priest who would examine the lamb before they would sacrifice the lamb. All the lambs, all the animals would come to the temple, and priests would examine those animals or the birds or whichever was brought for sacrifice to make sure that they were worthy of sacrifice. They had to be without blemish, without spot, without defect. And so then they were worthy of being sacrificed. John, being that priest, identified Jesus as the Lamb of God. He baptized him, giving him that inspection, if you will. And the final, Jesus would be the final sacrifice of Israel. The priest would make sure that this lamb was acceptable, no spot or blemish, and Jesus was that sacrifice. I want us to go to 1 Peter chapter 1 also. 1 Peter 18:46 in your pew Bibles. 18:46, chapter 1 in 1 Peter. Starting in verse 18. It says here, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God." You see, what it says here is that this lamb without spot or blemish was sacrificed on the cross for us. This lamb that came and was identified by a priest, who was brought to the temple by priests, and was condemned to die by priests. And he gave his life willingly as the one sacrifice. And I want us to go to one other scripture. It's in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. This is 18:31 in your pew Bibles. 18:31. Hebrews chapter 10. Starting in verse 11. It says here that day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. You see, Jesus Christ was that priest also. He died on the cross for us, not only the priest, but the Lamb of God. He took away the sins of the world for all time, for once and for all. No more sacrifices need to be made. That's what the scripture says about once and for all. And then he went and sat down at the right hand of God. You remember when he was hanging on that cross and he was talking back and forth to the Father. Every once in a while he'd say, you know, different things, you know, why have you forsaken me, etc. And then he said, it is finished. When he cried out, it is finished, the price was paid. The sacrifice was complete. The Lamb passed away. The blood of the Lamb was spilled. And so anyone who trusts in that Lamb, trusts in that sacrifice, will be saved. As John 3:16, we all know that. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, Jesus. Whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. That's what happened that day. That's what happened throughout Jesus' life. He was identified as the Lamb by a priest and led to the sacrifice by a priest. Jesus died for you and me. He takes our sin upon Himself and He dies and lays it there in the grave. Now, we still sin. But when you believe in Jesus as your Savior, He takes away the penalty of that sin. If you go a little farther in the scriptures of Hebrews, in verse 17, it says, then He adds, or well, let's back it up to verse 15. It says, the Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, He says, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I'll write them on their minds. Then He adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. So when forgiveness comes, when you receive Jesus as your Savior, there's no longer any sacrifice needed. When you trust in Jesus as your Savior, He paid for it. It's done. And it says here that there's your sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. Does that mean that God has a bad memory? No, He chooses not to remember. There are things that I've chosen not to remember, and I know Kathy does that on a daily basis, and chooses to forget the things that we fail in. And that's exactly what Jesus, what God our Father does for us. And so all He asks for us is to entrust our lives into His hands. It's not too much to ask. There's a song that I'm going to do as a special. This song is like a story song, and I like this song because it speaks about all of what happened during that day, and this one individual who witnessed it all, and it goes through his account, and he happens to be the guy that carries the cross for Jesus, I have a hard time sometimes with doing this without getting choked up myself, so hopefully you can hear the story without me doing that. But anyway, go ahead, Jeremy.